Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 28. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. This is the word of the Lord. I just realized as I read that 2 weeks ago, I had a scripture passage that was 2 pages long. Now that was 2 sentences long. I'm not very consistent. I'm sorry. Raise your hand if you're tired of winter. Oh, my goodness. Spring can't come too soon. It's a sign that spring's coming when the overhang over here in our driveway, when the ice starts sliding off, it's 3 feet hanging off right now, and I'm so worried that it's going to fall down on me or on our car as we back out. Ren was telling me this morning that somebody had their car crushed by it. Just a really nerve-wracking time. Spring cannot come too soon. This morning, we're continuing our series during Lent on what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And I suppose these days, that's usually referred to as church membership. But the Bible tells us that being part of the body of Christ and church membership is one and the same. Being a member is the same thing as being a part of the body of Christ. So, a functioning member of any church is actively participating in ministry, growing through Bible studies, and helping others to grow as well. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on how church membership is not like the memberships that we have at Costco, or Sam's Club, or wherever you happen to go. It's not a service that we pay for that comes with personal benefits, but instead, church membership is committing yourself to becoming a disciple, to be walking along with your brothers and sisters in Christ in the walk with Jesus. It's a tough call. It's not one that, on the surface, seems to have a lot of benefit to it. And some may ask, I've heard it before, why become a member of church if all it does is cost me? If all it does is cost me time and energy, can't I be a Christian on my own? That's a good question. On the surface, yeah, church membership seems to just cost us money, time, energy. And we also we're called to live to some of the highest standards. They can often put us into uncomfortable, embarrassing situations. Overseas, it's even harder. Being a member of the church could threaten your very life. It can alienate you from your friends and your family. So I ask again, why would anybody want to be a member of the church? From the world's perspective, being part of the church seems like a hindrance, something that gets in the way of financial and personal gain. And for those who are wrapped up and entangled into the many demands of this world, following Jesus can seem absurd. Even Jesus seems to know that we have this tension in our hearts, that we're pulled in many directions. In Luke 14, verses 26 through 27, let me read this. Jesus says, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. That's a tough teaching. Jesus says that unless we're willing to cut those things that might get in the way of our discipleship, with our relationship with God, and even be willing to give our own lives to follow Jesus, they cannot be his disciples. I guess it's like the saying, we can't have our cake and eat it too. You know, I know it's easy to hear that teaching and, you know, kind of push it through, to not really let it settle into our lives. I know that personally I've struggled with that teaching for many years. It seems just to be too great at sometimes, to hate my mother, to hate my father. It seems unrealistic. But Jesus is saying, in order to pursue godly, righteous, good transformation into our lives, in order to let the Spirit work in us, and to be able to follow Jesus, we simply can't keep one foot into the world and the other foot trying to be a disciple. They don't mix. It's like oil and water. They don't really go together. We can't keep one foot in jewelry and fancy cars and technical gadgets and the fanciest clothing. We can't just be part of the body of Christ one day of the week. It's not a part-time commitment. Being a member of the church body, it's a lifestyle. It's a huge commitment that does have high costs. But for those who are seeking peace, grace, love, and joy in Jesus' loving arms, there are also many, many treasures that only come through being part of the church body. Through a commitment, through church membership, there's actually growth and faith and mutual building each other up. For those who want to seek Jesus, church membership can be one of the most valuable, most enriching ways for our souls to be nurtured. After all, God has made us to be in relationship with one another. Today, I want to go over a few of these treasures that the church has for those who follow Christ. But even before we begin, I want to forewarn you that as I go over these treasures, these aren't treasures that one gets when one is put on the church roster, so to speak. These are treasures that come to those who seek them. When one commits themselves to various aspects within the church, these treasures are slowly uncovered. They're revealed to you, and they become more and more valuable as you continue in your Christian walk. The first treasure that I want to speak on is the power of fellowship in the believer. Fellowship has a way of changing the way we view relationships. Through fellowship, we're able to gain patience and learn to be vulnerable with one another. But before I even go on to explain how fellowship works, I suppose that I should explain what fellowship means exactly. Honestly, for the longest time, I thought that fellowship literally meant the hour after church where we get together, drink coffee, eat cakes, and just make small talk about what's going on in the week, to chat with our friends. It seemed like fellowship can actually become this if we let it. It becomes more about what we eat and the small talk we make. Now, honestly, I love to eat just as anybody else, and I really am looking forward to the social after this. I've been waiting all week. But is that the extent of what God has called us to in fellowship in the church? I think that if we see a fellowship hour or just this small time where we talk together as fellowship, we miss out on a huge part of Christian life. We miss out on a communal aspect that is absolutely necessary for us to grow. Because fellowship is the primary way that we develop our Christian relationships. Through fellowships, we have brothers and sisters that we can share our cares, our concerns, our worries, our joys. In Acts 2:42-47, it's a describing of the early church, the fellowship that they had together. And I just want to read this, because this gives us a glimpse of what fellowship could and should look like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone they had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Church fellowship like that is really about being together with fellow Christians, serving alongside each other, spending time together, sharing our needs and our prayers together. Why is this important for Christians? Well, one reason for those of us who have lived for any given amount of time, we know that things don't always work out in life. And there are hard times that we end up going through in this broken world. And through fellowship, we have a great support when life comes crashing down all around us. There was a Christian author, I can't remember his name, but he wrote about a great tragedy that happened in his life. He had lost his daughter in a go-kart accident. And after that, he had a real crisis of faith. He was overwhelmed with questions and thoughts of how God could let that happen. And he went through a deep, long period of mourning and sorrow. Now, the church didn't come and fix this problem. They didn't make the pain go away, but they did pray for him. They prayed for his family. They helped with the food. They helped with cleaning. They were listening ears, and they just listened to his doubts, to his troubles. Fellowship didn't make that situation perfect, but it did provide a loving support system that got him through a very difficult time in his life. And he was thankful for that. Later on, when he went back to his ministry, meaningful fellowship leads to deep, meaningful relationships where we learn to trust, where we learn to serve one another through our trials and our joys. There's more to fellowship. Another wonderful part of church fellowship is that it provides a place where we can seek discernment together. Have you ever asked the question, where is God leading me? Which direction should I choose? What path does God want me to take in life right now? We all know that God doesn't always speak audibly to you or always come to you in a dream with a direct response. So it's hard to tell sometimes. Sometimes I've often felt like I've drifted to the answer that seems most convenient to me. And I think that maybe that's God's will. Well, fellowship is a blessing here too, because through Christian fellowship, as you get to know and grow together with other people, you develop close friends, you develop close relationships, and people who are close to you can help you to discern where the Spirit is taking you, because they know you, and they can see what's going on in your life. Sometimes the Spirit, it's leading us to places we honestly don't want to go. It leads us down paths that we wouldn't expect. And other Christians can help us to make good, Spirit-filled decisions in life. I once struggled with a decision that was going to pull me out of a comfort zone that I held dear and near to my heart. I didn't want to give up serving at my youth group. It was the place where I came to Christ. I knew everybody. I knew all the kids. I knew their parents by names. I knew most of their addresses. I knew their likes and all this stuff. I had spent so much time with them. I had the whole routine for youth group worked out, and it was just a very comfortable setting for me. Yet, I felt like God might be calling me elsewhere. And I had to struggle with that for some time, and I was actively resisting it because I didn't want to give up all the time and the relationships that I had invested in throughout the years. But eventually, I brought this to some of my mentors and those who were closest to me at the time. And with a stern, but loving and caring just direction, they spoke to me. And they helped me to see that I was staying in that position for all the wrong reasons. I was staying because I was in a place where I had built myself up. A place where I was recognized, a place where I was valued. And I had stopped seeking to step out in faith, to trust God and where He might be leading me. And once again, I got to emphasize that it was through that fellowship, that closeness that I had with other people, that I was able to discern a very hard decision I had to make. And I want to say, for those of us here who have struggled with a hard decision, there's nothing like having other people to help you get through it, to help you answer, to discern where God's taken you. Finally, fellowship is also about keeping relationships with those who are sick, those who are hurting, and those who are in need. We care for those among us who are sick, and those who may not be able to do the everyday things that they used to. Fellowship is about developing loving relationships that last a lifetime. As the verse said earlier, through fellowship, we're able to give to each other as there is need. Serving and giving out of love, it really builds us up. Because when we learn to care for others, it helps us to care and love for others as we would love ourselves. Fellowship is truly a gift, a treasure from God. It builds up Christian community, and it provides opportunities for us to care for one another. But once again, fellowship is only as good as one is willing to put into it. Fellowship's a big one, a big part of being in the church. But briefly, I also want to mention another one that I've begun to appreciate so much lately. Another treasure that church gives is when we learn from one another, when we talk together, when we study the Bible together. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And that just means that it takes another to sharpen us, to make us the best that we can be, to help us to grow in knowledge and discipleship. Being part of the church community, it's about growing together. It's about studying together and helping us to come to better answers. I know personally that studying the scriptures by yourself can be an incredibly challenging feat. I'm sure many of us, at some point or another, when you first started trying to read the Bible, you started from the beginning. I know I did. And I was trying to read it like a book, because I didn't know any better. So I started with Genesis. I went through Exodus, and then I got to Leviticus. Leviticus. For those of us who don't know, Leviticus is a bunch of rules and laws and very wordy. And once I got there, I closed my Bible and I just stopped. I didn't understand what it was saying. I felt dumb and I just quit there. I was overwhelmed. So, when we are part of a community that studies together, others, by having people around you, they can help us to discern these difficult parts of Scripture or point us to the right books in the Bible where maybe we should be reading instead of trying to read the more difficult ones first. They can give us instructions on how to read Scripture better. Or something that they might give us ways that can speed up our understanding. I also know from the Bible study we have downstairs in the morning on Sundays, when we study together, we all have different perspectives on what stands out from us in the Scriptures. And we all come from different backgrounds, and we all glean different things from the Scripture. I come from a certain background, but others come from military backgrounds. Others might come from a missionary background. Some might come from a tough neighborhood. But you can learn so much from other people when you study the Scriptures together. Another benefit of studying within the church community is having a group of people to pray for when you're trying to seek answers to some of life's most difficult questions. I know that at some point, many of us have probably had a difficult question that we've struggled to answer, and we can't seem to find the answers within the Bible, and we struggle to understand. It's really a blessing to have people around you who can help you, who can try to work through that question with you. And sometimes it's reassuring that as a group you can come together and come to the conclusion that there is no clear answer, that we won't truly know everything until we go home before our Father studying together, it really can be a treasure that opens up so much within us, that can enrich us in so many ways. But once again, the gift is only as precious as much as you are willing to put into it. Membership is full of treasure for those who seek spiritual growth, for those who want to grow in their relationship with God. And I just want to make sure that you know that while membership comes at a high cost, when you look at the things of this world, the things that we may have to give up to follow Jesus, the rewards that we get in the Spirit are invaluable. When we commit to the church body, we gain these heavenly treasures that we reap, and God says that they will never pass away. I pray that we as a church can embrace our membership, that we can seek these ways, and there's many more ways that we can be blessed by becoming part of the church community through serving, many other things. I pray that you ponder these things this week, and I hope that everyone becomes involved in some way. You'll be blessed for it. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the ways that by being part of the church body, Lord, you just increase in so many ways. Lord, I pray that we treasure those things that you've given to us as gifts. I pray that we treasure each other, that we love each other, and that we get to know each other in such a way that we can even resemble that church in Acts, Lord. God, we love you, and we thank you for every gift you give us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.